Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. I've been thinking a lot about this guy lately, praying for him as well. Mark Porter, I got to know. We had him on last week, and I got to know him when he was here and in Minnesota, and he's moved on and took a job as a superintendent of the Florida at the Florida Keys, and that means about 100 miles and a whole bunch of schools. And so he has literally been in the eye of the storm while moving from the Keys last week and closing schools and all those things. Now he's faced with the unenviable task of assessing damage in one way, shape, or form, and he joins us now. Mark, first of all, how are you doing?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing great. I'm still safely evacuated here in St. Augustine, although this storm was of such magnitude that basically the entire state of Florida has been impacted. And I'm fortunate to be staying at a beautiful home here, but without power at this time.
Really?
And in close communication with everybody back in the Keys.
What do we know about the Keys right now?
Well, what we know is a couple of things. You know, the Keys are really in three regions, lower, middle, and upper Keys. And I'll kind of start the Key West, the area I live in. Probably not damaged as badly as was expected, but having significant infrastructure problems with water and electricity. Middle Keys, Marathon area, impacted very significantly by the storm, but already, you know, working toward recovery. And to be honest, the Upper Keys portion, less impacted, and I think the recovery effort there is going very well. It's been amazing to watch all the resources come together as I'm kind of working from afar right now, but I'm kind of working my way back there in the next day or so. But their first priority was to get the roads reestablished. And the biggest and most fortunate thing is the bridge inspections have gone well. There are 42 bridges in Monroe County. And the last count, the Florida Department of Transportation had okayed visually all but the last nine. And they were just waiting for their final report. So that means the emergency vehicles, the electricity trucks, the cranes and all that can move through the Keys and begin doing the work needed to restore the infrastructure.
So reports of any bridge being damaged, at least to your knowledge, not accurate in terms of, there's nine bridges left to inspect, obviously, but there's no reason to believe right now that any are down.
That's absolutely correct, I think, and that's been one of the biggest problems is managing correct and accurate information. I'm part of the emergency management calls about 3 to 4 times per day. And so far, we have had no confirmed reports of damage to bridges in the Florida Keys. Again, this is visual inspection. There may still be some things, that need to be evaluated in terms of their real, integrity for a full load, so to speak. But right now, the emergency vehicles can make their way down the Keys, as can the restoration of electricity and water.
So take me, what was it like the last couple of days as you've watched this thing, and then you watched it take a turn to the west when they thought it would probably go east. From where you stood, what kind of communication did you have, and what was that like?
Well, it's been very challenging. As you know, when we talked before, my initial escape route was over to Cape Coral, which is in the Fort Myers area. And then the storm took a shift and moved to the west, and I had to kind of move a second time over to St. Augustine on the other side of the state. But I think the most difficult and challenging thing for me has been the lack of communication with some of my people in both Key West and the Marathon area. And today was really a significant day for me. I spoke directly with one of my principals in Key West who had stayed actually with her family sheltering in one of our school buildings. And she gave me a very positive report. First and foremost, and most importantly, she, her family, and all the other school personnel were safe and doing well. And secondly, our schools were only minimally damaged, and that was extremely good as well. And also, the storm surge wasn't as bad as expected. That's really the biggest problem sometimes. People don't understand that hurricanes are a combination of wind destruction, but even more significant sometimes can be water destruction as the ocean really kind of pours over the land. And in this case, it was very minimal. And so I think we're going to come back to something pretty decent, but still a lot of, like I said, water and electricity are the big challenges right now.
Do you know about your own home?
Do not, Mike. I don't. And I think you have to really put things in the proper perspective. The first and foremost priority is safety, you know, life and safety. And so today I was able to confirm that my people were safe and sound there, and I had a good report out of Marathon in terms of life and safety issues as well. Now, the second issue is we need to get the infrastructure back in order. And so I'll be re-entering the Keys as soon as that electricity and the water are back online. But, you know, at a time like this, it really helps you maybe put the right perspective on things. You know, you can replace your property if need be, but you can't replace the life of those that you work with, or those that you care about. So right now, I'm feeling pretty good about the fact that all the people that I'm working with in Monroe County are doing pretty well.
Yeah, isn't that funny? It's all perspective, isn't it? And your expectations get set one way, and all of a sudden today you go, okay, it might not be easy, but we can deal with this.
You know, it is. It really is. You know, and I think, you know, we grow through these things. You know, I'm a big believer in what the Bible has to say. In James 1:2 says you're supposed to find pure joy in your trials. I'm struggling with the pure joy part, but I got to tell you, I can see where I'm going to be a better person on the other side of this thing. And we're just going to work together with the people I work with in the Monroe County schools. And I'm confident that we will restore the school system and we'll get our kids back in the classroom as soon as we can.
You know what I hear, Marcus? I hear that athlete in you coming through, that competitor, that we're down but we're not out, and we will prevail and win. It's almost that background your dad raised you with.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's a part of this thing that sometimes gets your adrenaline going, Mike. You know, I've got a huge leadership challenge ahead of me. But to be honest, I'm kind of ready to go. You know, you kind of got my game face on. I'm ready to get at it, because I work with a lot of good people, and I think together we can get the job done. I just want to get back in there and get to work, because my most important thing is after I'm assured that the people are safe, my next highest priority is getting our kids back in school. We serve some great kids, some great families, and I want them to be back in their schools, back in their communities, trying to restore their lives to as normal as we can.
And in that, it is an opportunity, isn't it? Because they're never going to forget this year. If it's their senior year, junior, whatever, they're always going to remember this hurricane. And there's a place there that you can really, from an educational standpoint, take advantage of and use to teach.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I think one of the things today that maybe we don't do enough with young people is allow them to fail or experience failure or challenges, you know, that kind of thing. And everybody's got to win. Everybody's got to get a trophy. Well, I tell you, we've got some young people here in Monroe County that are going to go through a very challenging circumstance. It's not going to be over quickly, but I truly believe, you know, they and we will be better for it.
Mark, so tomorrow, you're saying Augustine, that's up there quite a ways. Do you start making the journey, the trek, or how do you go about that? Do you know you have enough gas and all those essentials to get back?
Well, I do have a big vehicle with about a 500-mile range, Mike, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to slip a personal note in. I got two little grandkids listening to me up there in Minnesota, and I bought a big vehicle for when Addie and Liesl and the little brother Hawken were down here to spend time with us. So I got a Tahoe that will get me a long ways. But you're right, gas is going to be a problem, because it was a problem getting out, and it's going to be a problem getting back as we have kind of a mass reentry here in the near future. Right now, you can't get past a checkpoint into Monroe County. It's one of the advantages we have. There's only one road in, and you got to have the right credentials, the right authority in order to be able to reenter. I do have that. So as soon as I think there's enough infrastructure there for me to be there and for make sense for me to be there, I'll be heading back that way probably sometime tomorrow. I'll try to work my way back. Try to hook up somewhere with some people in Homestead, so as soon as I think things are good enough, I can enter Monroe County and get back to work.
So when you finally get with the people and you have a chance to collect either your faculty or the students, whoever it is, what will your message be? How will you try to build from this? I'm sure you've thought about this a little bit. At some point in time, you're going to have that audience in front of you.
You know, it really is, Mike. It's going to be an opportunity. I'm already doing it, basically, to be a you know, emails and so forth. I send a daily message out to every employee in the Monroe County Schools, offering them encouragement, keeping them informed on what's going on. And I get a lot of positive feedback from people, because they weren't getting any information. That's been the hardest thing. It's been this kind of communications black hole, you know, for so many of us, because there is no cell service in Key West. There's no cell service throughout about two-thirds of the Keys right now. So a lot of people aren't getting information. So I'm giving it to them. I'm letting them know that we're gearing up. We're getting ready to go. You know, I always joke with people, Mike, human behavior doesn't change that much between youth and adults. And so the same kind of things you do to rally kids to put forth their best efforts on the field or on the court aren't that different than the messages you try to send to adults to get them to put forth their best effort through a difficult situation.
So in some respects, might you be better served not being back there for a while until you know that service and whatnot has been restored, because you can almost be more effective electronically from where you are?
Yeah, you were always a pretty bright guy, Mike. You're absolutely right. You know, staying connected electronically is probably more important than me physically being there. As a matter of fact, once I get there, I'm probably one of the most useless people in the district to be there, because I'm not a particularly handy, you know, individual as far as all of this goes. But staying connected, that's what I mean by if once the infrastructure is there for me, and I think it will be there in the Upper Keys within a matter of days, then I think it makes sense for me to be there symbolically to demonstrate that, yeah, we're coming back. But until then, you're right. I need to stay connected is more important than being physically present.
Are the people, is there a spirit of the Keys that's unique, or how would you describe it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, unique is definitely the way to describe the Keys, but in many, many ways. When it comes to challenges like this, that uniqueness becomes a very positive trait. Some of these people have been through challenges like this before. I don't think any of them have been through challenges quite as significant as this one. The magnitude of this storm was really something unusual and something very challenging. But I'll tell you what, they don't give up. They'll be back, they're committed to doing what they can for their community and for their kids. And I'm looking forward to getting back there with them.
I can just hear it in your voice. It's time now to rebuild, right?
Absolutely. Like I said, from a leadership perspective, you know, you don't go out looking for these kind of challenges, but when they come, you kind of embrace them, and you move forward and do the absolute best you can. And like I said, I like the people I work with. I got a lot of confidence in them, and I'm just anxious for us to get back to work.
Mark, appreciate it very much. Could you stay in line? I just want to ask a quick question during the commercial break.
Absolutely, Mike.
Mark Porter, Superintendent of Schools in Key West. How you want that as your challenging job of the year? And he hails from right here in Minnesota. His father, longtime football coach at St. Olaf, Mark, heavily involved in athletics as well throughout his life. Take a break. Come back. Sports to the Max. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Radio 830 WCCO. 826 is the time. Dan, I got to tell you, yesterday, from a television standpoint, it was about as good of options in some respects as you could have, depending on, you know, where you stand and things. But you had the NFL season kicking off.
Uh-huh.
Obviously not a hometown team here playing, but still. You had the Twins playing Kansas City. They're in the race.
Right.
You had unbelievable hurricane coverage from the cable networks. And then you had 60 Minutes with this Steve Bannon interview that was outstanding. It was a beautiful day, so I didn't partake in all of it. I listened to the Bannon interview on CCO radio as I was driving around. But I mean, you think about that. That's a lot of compelling stuff yesterday on TV.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, the parts that rated over any other would have been the NFL games. Even without the Vikings involved, I guarantee you, if you look at the ratings, the football games rated over everything else.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But from the NFL standpoint, they expect to reign over everybody else. The question is, how big a dent did it take out of them? Not the Twins game, obviously, or, you know, Major League Baseball, but how big a dent did the hurricane coverage, i.e. the way last year Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton with their debates, you know, stole the day a few times and made people political activists and watching and whatnot. And some people said, well, that's why the NFL had declining ratings. Others speculate that it's the head injury thing and the concussions and people are turned off. I don't know.
And the truth of it is probably a combination of all those factors, because the ratings certainly came back after the election, but not to the level that the NFL was used to having them at. So something else was still going on. And it very well may be the concussion issues or the other PR hits, and the NFL's had plenty of black eyes PR-wise over the last few years. So maybe it's a cumulative effect of those as well.
I had a chance at noon today to host the MC at an event for Taste the NFL, and Deuce McAllister was there. He's the color man for the radio broadcast of the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, really?
Now, you know, Deuce was a good running back back in the day.
Yeah.
Let's just say I would not have recognized Deuce today.
Didn't have quite that same athletic look to him.
He'd been down in the Cajun country there. You know, they've got some great chefs down there
feeding him well, huh?
Yeah, and the Deuce was a good man. Lertzman was there. We'll visit with Lertzy.
Of course, Lertzy was
tomorrow night. We'll visit with him, but we'll be live on location. But we'll visit with him tomorrow night. So take a break. Come back. Sports to the Max.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. Dan Cook, as we look at the baseball standings right now, the Minnesota Twins in good shape. One game up on the Angels and everybody else. Who would scare you the most behind them?
You know, that's a tough question to answer because I think you can lump all of those teams together in a grab bag and pull any of them out, and they're all about the same. They're all pretty darn mediocre.
Yeah.
Force me to pick a team. Boy, I don't know.
Who would have the best chance of catching them, do you think? I mean, the Angels is kind of obvious because they're the closest.
They're the closest, and they don't have as many teams to jump over. That's the problem when you get, you know, you look at like a Kansas City, who's obviously had a lot of success against Minnesota, but they've got so many teams that they've got to jump over in order to get up to, mm-hmm. you know, and so you have to have all of those teams ahead of you lose mm-hmm. while you're winning, and that's not easy to do. Baltimore's hanging around out there, and they've got plenty of talent. I don't know that they, I mean, none of those teams scare you, but could any of them jump up and have a hot week and a half, 2 weeks at the end of the season and take that second wild card? Yeah, absolutely they could.
For sure.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, the Twins couldn't have much more in their favor, though. In terms
sure.
of schedule.
No, I mean, it sets up for them, but, you know.
The only thing we don't know about the Twins is Sano's status.
That's really the big question mark,
you
yeah.
know, when can he come back? And
they had, they had a fantastic August that he wasn't there for most of it. But that being said, you're better off with him in the lineup than not.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you just
sure.
don't know what his physical status is going
to
be.
I mean, Buxton, about the time we were ready to praise him, he goes 0 for 21.
Mm-hmm.
Now he came back.
And he came back.
But it just shocked me because it looked like, you know, we kind of thought he had it figured out, you know?
Yeah, well, we kind of thought he had it figured out last September, too. And then he shows up in the spring and was just awful. So,
yeah, it just looked like he'd become more patient.
Sure.
And it looks like he's back to some of the old habits. Now he hit the home run. Maybe that'll get him.
Well, and that's, and you know this as well as anybody, right? That's when it comes to baseball, you get out of whack, you have a bad week or two. You know, you go to the video, you go to your hitting coach, you go to the cage. Hopefully you get it back, right? I mean, and if you're a superstar-type talent like Byron Buxton is, generally you do get it back.
Yeah,
but there's going to be that stretch. Nobody hits 300 for every month of a 300 season, right? You have 1 month where you're hitting 325 and another month where you hit 275.
That's just a little bit
it's
uncanny.
Just up and down.
His season's been a little uncanny and
yeah.
extreme.
Well, I mean, know? To the point when we were talking, I remember specifically, you and I were talking about it one night when he had been on this red-hot streak, right? Had, you know, had the game with the three home runs. I mean, just had been scorching hot. Comes up to the plate the next night and you happen to look up and he was hitting 250.
Yeah,
because that's
that.
How that's how awful the beginning of his year was. So I mean, that's baseball, man.
That's baseball, but at least it's fun to have a team that's
oh, it's
there
no question
knocking on the door. And,
the entertainment
know.
Level this year versus the entertainment last year. I mean, it's not.
I said
close.
I don't know that I call them a really good team, but I
no.
call them a fun team because yeah. you don't know what you're going to get every night.
Yeah,
and that's fun. It's fun because Polanco may hit a couple of doubles or home runs, you know?
Yeah, and you're also sort of playing with house money, right? Because nobody thought
yeah.
they were going to be this good. Nobody thought they were going to be this good. So you've already had what is essentially a successful season. You know, if they don't
yes.
make the playoffs at this point, you're still happy with what this year was relative to what last year was.
People
so.
Now know who you're talking about when you
yes.
try to sell them next year, and
exactly.
that's the key. So when you say Polanco, Buxton, Sano, mm-hmm. Maurer, Dozier, you know, to an extent, Kepler, Rosario – people know who they are, and that's half the battle of a marketing campaign.
And now you got to believe Ervin Santana isn't going anywhere when he was
yeah.
supposedly a lock to be traded. He's going to be around. Barrios is going to be around. You have no idea what the status of Colon's going to be, but you know, you've at least got two pitchers.
He could be around.
He could be. You got at least got two pitchers, maybe three, you know, that you can look at and say, okay, that gives us a reasonable shot to win on a night-in, night-out basis. And then who knows? Maybe this is the offseason now. Jake Arrieta is going to be floundering around out there, and he was bad enough early in the year that maybe you get a little bit discounted of a contract on him. Maybe this is the year you go and try and find, you know, an upper-tier starter like that and re-slot everybody and get them into slots that better fit their talent level and make a run next year.
Yeah, there's no Minnesotan out there like Jack Morris. You could say, well, come on back, and he's
yeah,
integrated.
No,
cause,
you're
you
not going to find that.
But there
are going to be people out there that you can get at if you're creative enough. And I mean,
and they got to want to come here. They got to feel like they're the missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, or you know, or that the money's right. I mean, whatever. Everybody has different motivations in terms of where they're going to show up. You know, Ricky Nolasco didn't come here because he thought Twins were a great organization. They just showed him the most
right.
money.
Right. So then you overpay for a guy like that, and you
right.
hope you don't get burned.
Right.
You know,
and in some cases they've done it and it's worked. And in that case,
the fun thing's going to be watch this Lewis's number one draft pick too.
Oh sure,
they've already moved him up, and I'm not saying next year, but I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, he skipped a level, right? I mean,
yeah,
he
I mean,
right
that's
from,
really unusual.
It really is. But, you know, they're absolutely convinced that he could handle it. And I think when he showed up at Cedar Rapids, he was hot right out of the gate and then, you know, regressed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, to a degree. But, I mean, you know, he's shown a ton of talent. So who knows? And, you know, you also keep an eye. Nick Gordon's been working up the ranks. I mean, next,
yep.
next
been
year.
Waiting for him for a while.
Yeah, next year could be a year that he could come up at least late in the season. I wouldn't expect him to break camp with the ball club, but that's another talented guy. Or maybe that's a guy now with Royce Lewis in the system that you think you can move and you know, close to major league ready. Maybe you can get a nice pitching
piece. I mean, you
that.
Look at this. I mean, next year, Sano at third.
Mm-hmm.
Polanco at short. Dozier at second, Mauer at first, outfield Rosario, Buxton, and Kepler. You're pretty happy with that going.
Your lineup's pretty good shape,
and it ain't very hard to find a DH.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
A Tomy type that's you know will come and switch
or just
the heels
you know or
bit.
Just you know use that as a rotational spot to help get guys' days off. I mean, you could do it any number of different ways.
Yeah.
But there's no question the starting staff is where you got to upgrade. 100%. Yeah. That's where you have to concentrate on. That's going to be Falvey and Levine this offseason.
All right. Well, let's go back down on the Florida topic. Dr. Pete Lalier is, full disclosure, my guy at Hopkins Health and Wellness. He's very good. He's also got a place in Marco Island. And so he was obviously directly affected by this, indirectly because he's up here. And he joins us right now. Well, Dr. Pete, you and I have interesting conversations all the time, but this one stretches it a little bit. You've been a Marco Island second resident for some time now, and as this storm approached, you had to keep an eye on it, certainly from afar. But tell me what it was like to be an owner down there and to watch for the last, 10 days or whatever it's been as you watch this thing take a path.
Yeah, you know, you don't really, it's weird because you don't really worry about the, you know, like our place that we've got down there. And those material things, you worry about the people that are down there and trying to make sure everybody's getting off the island. And unfortunately, we had some friends that were like, nope, we're staying. And so I spent the last 24 hours being really worried about them. And during the course of the storm, for some reason, the one person that was in my condo area that stayed was texting me and sending me pictures during the eye of the hurricane, the eye wall on both sides of the storm.
Wow.
Going through. And I was watching, seeing these pictures of trees bent over sideways, and then 10 seconds later I get another text and the trees are just gone. And it was, you know, the pictures say 1,000 words, man. It was frightening. And then one of the texts I got is they said, oh my God, the soffit just went off our building. I hope the roof holds. And they're on the second floor. I mean, there was nothing above them.
Oh boy.
And so that went like that for a long, sustained period of time. It just did not stop. And, you know, and then things kind of went radio silent. I think cell towers went down, and then we didn't hear until late last night that everybody was okay, and we started getting messages from people saying, hey, I'm okay, everything's good, but things are really bad here right now. Well, you know, we'll talk to you in the morning. But no power for 4 to 6 weeks out there. A lot. You know, wind devastation is the biggest thing. The surge wasn't as bad as they expected. It was bad in the south, and it flooded a lot. But, you know, I got a call from a buddy about an hour ago, and he finally got back on the island again now. And he got to his house, and he's like, bad news. He goes, my seawall is gone, and my porch area and patio in the back is all gone. And then he said the neighbor right next to him looked like nothing touched it.
Really?
And so they think that there was like these tornadoes that would develop during in the eye wall that would just really affect some spots and not others. But, you know, the people down there were they had a week to kind of get prepared, but I don't think anybody expected the eye of the hurricane to go make landfall on Marco Island.
No, that wasn't the forecast, was it? The extended forecast didn't suggest that.
Yeah, and even before that, before the storm hit, they were, you know, out of water, out of plywood, out of tarps, out of a lot of the essential things they need. You know, and everybody's heard about the fuel issues down there. So now afterwards, now they have no power. And
you said 4 to 6 weeks, they already know that they will be without power
that
long?
They estimate it could be 4 to 6 weeks before they get power back. One of the things that Jim Grierson, one of my buddies down there, did is he called me today. And he said, please tell people up there to not call Southwestern Florida, just to leave it alone and let people call. And he said, if you have to contact somebody, send a text because the phone lines are just utterly jammed up down there. And he said 1 in 15 calls they can get to go through. So they're trying to talk to their wives and their kids and make sure everything is okay. And they can't communicate very well right
now.
Yeah,
plus they're going to lose power on their cell phone unless they've got access to something to recharge it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, and so there's there's that issue as well, that, you know, people are running their cars and charging their phones off their cars to the extent
that's
that they
right,
can
yep.
and doing stuff like that. But, you know, he was in a hospital last night just off the island, and the hospital at the last minute let 700 people in that hadn't evacuated early enough that they didn't expect they were going to have to, but they just packed people in there.
Wow.
And then the storm went down. But, you know, a lot of the places that are landmarks on Marco Island, the Snook, I guess the whole tiki area of that is gone. Stands and the fish house in Goodland are, I guess they're completely gone. And it's crazy. The pictures that the people are sending me are just mind boggling. On the ground in Marco.
And your unit, as far as you know, is okay?
Yeah, I don't think there was any the only threatened life there was a dolphin that they had to rescue off the beach and get back in the water. But yeah, everybody that I haven't heard of any issues with fatalities or bad injuries or anything like that. I mean, people got protected. It's the aftermath people are going to deal with now. You know, those people live and work down there, and you know, the average person that works at a restaurant down there doesn't have, you know, insurance that's going to replace their
wages. That's right. Yeah, there's no money coming in on that end. Right?
Yeah.
So you have decided to do something about it, though. You're going to go down there tomorrow.
Yes, we are. We got a 20-foot trailer that Hancock Realty Group donated today, and we got some different companies. St. Bonnie Motorsports is helping us with some generators, and we're bringing a bunch of generators down there and supplies, plywood, chainsaws, tarps. And bleach is one of the things that was requested. We just basically told everybody, let us know what you need, and we're coming down. So,
are you driving down?
Yep, we're taking the trailer down there.
Wow, so you got a long drive ahead, huh?
Yeah, 2 days. But, you know, Brett, Nickum, and I, we're going to just take shifts, and we're just going to make our way down there and help out. Yeah, there's no generators down there right now for sale. There's not a lot of things that they can't get that we can get down there in 2 days. That will help a lot.
So do you have any idea, Dr. Pete, when you get there, what, I mean, do you think they'll be organized by then? Will it be a free-for-all? What's the word?
Yeah, just the pictures I've seen, and they've got advisories. You know, they said there's no running water there on the island right now, no power, and they said just be prepared and make sure you bring the essential stuff that you need when you're down there. And, I guess it's, you know, it's heavily patrolled right now and everything like that, and I think that it's orderly, but you know, people are just walking around today. I can tell it's just like the sense of disbelief of like, wow, what just happened here? And you know, they're also at the same time thankful, you know, because like some of the big building structures and things like that, they didn't get damaged as much as they thought. But you know, trees and, you know, landscaping and stuff that wasn't attached, and that's all just in a big jumbled mess down there right now.
Well, what do they do? I mean, obviously, they can't keep things refrigerated for long. I mean, what do they do for food, water? What's their source right now?
That's the big question. They're all, you know, this is like, you know, just 12 hours ago. So right now, they're all like, everybody's trying to figure out how to adapt and what to do and where to go. And you're right, there's not. And, you know, and the vast majority of people don't have access to any generators. That's why we're bringing down these big 13,000-watt generators to try to power up and, you know, help people with like essential, you know, electricity so they can get some things rolling again.
Huh. I mean, I envy you from the standpoint that this will be one educational trip for you. And I guess the good news is, as far as you know, no lives lost close to where you were or proximity wise.
No, I don't think there was.
And maybe in part because people had prepared enough to for the warning, but you know, obviously, when you purchase a place down there, you know, this could be part of the deal. Was it more than you ever expected, though, as this thing came in to experience this?
You know what? When we started, I was down there a week and a half ago, and the report started happening. The hurricane started to develop, and people were talking about it casually, and then it just escalated from there. And then by the time I got back home last week, people were getting ready. They were getting ready for it, tying boats down, but very, very quickly, like in the first day that it's like, okay, there's a hurricane coming, maybe affect this area. Like that first day, all the water was gone out of Walmart, all the plywood was gone, all the tarps were gone. Everything was, you know, very, very quickly, there was nothing, you know, available for what people needed for essential stuff. I mean, we were getting, you know, anchor ropes and things like that out of people's boats, and in our complex and having people tie the boats down with those because there was no more ratchet straps or anything like that available. Yeah, it was a crazy experience to go through, and it was agonizing yesterday as the hurricane was going down because you'd get communication and all of a sudden it would be radio silence for an hour, and then all of a sudden some text would come through from one of my three friends that were actually on Marco Island when it was going down, and all of a sudden somebody would say, okay, and that's all you get. And then a half an hour later, you get something else saying, wow, the water is really coming up fast right now, or, roads underwater and things like that. So,
yeah, we live them in real time now, don't we?
Yeah, it was amazing. I for the life of me, I have no idea why our property manager who took refuge in our condo complex on the second floor, she's the only person left there, and she was in the middle, when she was in the eye of the storm and the eye wall, was sending me pictures and updating me, and I was like, just stay safe right now, man.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, don't worry about anything else, right?
Yeah.
So how far do you have to go by, how long would it take you to get from Marco Island to the next place where you could buy supplies right now or water or whatever? How long a drive is it to the next place that has power?
I don't think that, I have no idea about power, but I know that all of Southern Florida right now is very sold out on all of that stuff.
Sure.
There's not. I mean, the guys are like, bring as many generators as you can get right now because they will all be gone immediately. People will want them. And I know I've gotten two other phone calls while in this last couple hours that were like, hey, can you get me a 4,000 watt generator? I'll take one. And so
forth. Boy. Yeah, sure. They're buying over the phone. They're buying anywhere they can, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when we were calling places this morning to get generators,
yeah,
like Northern Tool, they said, yeah, we're starting to get sold out here.
In Minnesota.
Because of the pressure of that down there. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, and then you got on top of that, you just had the whole thing happen in Texas.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, so who knows how many were already claimed for there, right?
Yeah, they're already gone there, so this is just like the double whammy going on.
Well, so when you get there, you know a number of people, a lot of people that you've met down there that you'll be able to kind of join hands with?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And, my buddy Jim, if he can't get in his house or we can't get his house powered with a generator properly, we'll just have them come and stay at our place.
Sure.
And, for the grace of God, I don't know how that works, but my, Brett and I's condos, we're on the first floor, and there was a big flood risk, but ours didn't get flooded, and we got minimal damage. So
wow, well,
just lucky.
Hey,
but, I'm telling you that my heart goes out to the people down there that have to live and work down there every day, and they are bewildered right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you'll have no sense of what it's really like until you get down there, because I don't think we can come to terms with it. But keep us updated, and congratulations on taking on a tough task on this, because I know that that's a long drive, and I'm not surprised that you're the one dropping everything that you've got going and going down and doing it. So appreciate it from Minnesota to the folks down there in Marco Island in Florida.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yep, thank you, Dr. Pete Lealia, one of my favorites on News Radio 830 WCCO, the Maplewood Toyota time is 8:51. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Tomorrow night we'll be at the 612 Club, and we will be joined by members of the Minnesota Wild. Going to be a lot of fun. Jason Zucker will be out there as we kick off the hockey season. Devin Dubnyk, Jared Spurgeon, and much more. Bob Lertzman will be a guest of mine. Going to be fun. All of a sudden, hockey season starts. This is the week, isn't it? Football season's here. Vikings in play. Gophers in play, obviously. Baseball season, Twins in play. Here come the Wild, and because they've moved the NBA season up, the Timberwolves are not far behind. So we've got all that to look forward to over the next month here as we transition into the fall season and into the winter season. It's amazing how all these seasons come together now. There is no off season, I guess. But all of a sudden, the Wild come back, and there'll be a lot of buzz about this team because they were so good last year and not so good in the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see what that means for this team. It'll be interesting to see what Bruce Boudreau does different with basically the same lineup, save Matt Cullen and some young people that they expect to be better, and he lost Eric Halla and others. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But that's that's what's in store tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to sitting down with Jason Zucker. And Jared Spurgeon is one of the nicest guys in the team. Devin Dubnyk's always in a good mood. Good guys, good dudes, good to be around. We'll bring you that. And then high school coaches throughout the week as we head to the high school sports rally on Friday. Stevie T in the full, all that stuff. So we got lots of good stuff coming up here this week and beyond on Sports to the Max. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. Willie Howard will join us, Cooper Coach, Coach of the Week. Doing some really interesting things out there, Robbinsdale Cooper. He'll be on with us on Wednesday. All kinds of good guests straight ahead. Al Malmberg is up next. He's right around the corner. And he's got a lot to talk about after this weekend. And he's going to be trying to talk about it while he watches the Denver Bronco game. That's just a little secret. This concludes Sports to the Max. Al Malmberg is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.